That's a beautiful, optimistic reading about how much the Lord wants to guide each individual person. We all are, as I've said many times, the Gospels are not complete in the sense that we have our story yet being written, of which the Lord will open a book of our lives, which we is our gift to God and His to us. And this, the shepherd is guiding us through life, and of course, our part of life is to learn to hear the shepherd's voice. And this is not always easy, because not only are we hard of hearing, but the Lord also quiets down, so that we must attune our ears to this. But usually on Good Shepherd Sunday, I do a sheep or a goat homily, but I think I'm going to pass on that this year. So, but if you pray hard enough. The second reading is a beautiful, beautiful image of all of these people. It's like Palm Sunday or the Easter Vigil. They're all wearing white robes, you know, like the ones that were baptized here a couple weeks ago. The white garments symbolize cleansing. Notice they're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and they're holding a white palm branch. These people have cried. He said, "You're not going to cry anymore." These people have been through hunger and thirst. They've been, the sun has beaten down on them. In other words, they've worked in the heat of the day, and they've gone through trials and sufferings. And all of that has come to an end for them. But, and the reason that's included today is because the Lord is shepherding them. And so he promised these people eternal life. But he didn't promise that it would be a pleasure cruise. Somebody was telling me after the last Mass that they're taking a cruise down the Danube. It's been very popular in recent years, and the dollar's been very strong, and people like to do this. But life is not like a cruise like that. You know, if you can get it, that's a great job. But to have not suffered for someone or for some reason out of love is to have missed most of life, because all of these people have been through something. The white, the feather that they've got, the palm branch that they're holding in their hands is a symbol of martyrdom. In other words, I've been through something with you, Lord. That's their badge. That's their glory. If we haven't been through something, we won't have anything to hold up. Martyrdom is not just physical martyrdom, although Pope Francis has said, and this is absolutely correct, that we're living in the greatest age of martyrs in the last 2,000 years, right now. Not here, but thank God, not here. But there's other kinds of martyrdom, and it's the martyrdom of the dying of self. I had it really interesting this week. I've been noticing this all week long, and I knew the Lord wanted me to include it in this sermon. It was my chapel that in the rectory. It's one of the used to be an office in there. And it used to have a really ugly old tree that was quite sick, but it wasn't sick enough to take out yet. So anyway, the way that the house used to be set up before we built the church is there was a sidewalk that came straight out to the parking lot. And right where the sidewalk met the parking lot, it seemed as though, you know, I feed the birds. And what happens when you feed the birds? Yeah, well, first of all, they only eat half of what they're offered, which is very rude. I've told them so. You know, the rest gets scattered everywhere, so you end up with sunflowers. They plant seeds, unwanted seeds, with fertilizer attached to them, okay? So there's this one spot that I used to always get a plant. I think I had three or four of them over the last 12 years. And the first one, I can't forget what it was. The second one was like an arborvitae, but it was prettier than that. And I let it grow for quite a while. It couldn't stay there. It was right in the corner. You know, it had to be moved. So we dug it out and put it over here in the park, and it's still growing. The third or fourth plant was a Douglas fir. And at first, I didn't know what it was. It was just a little thing. And it turned into a healthy little tree, and it was very pretty there. But, of course, a tree can't grow in that spot. It absolutely could not stay there. So at some point, I dug it out carefully. It was already almost too late. All roots had gone under the sidewalk already to get them out. And so I put it in a pot because I thought, well, I'll turn this into kind of an outdoor Christmas tree for a few years, which it worked really good. And I put little lights on it. I put the pot right by an outlet, you know, and I put lights on it. And I made a mistake. I put it too close to the house. And so, not thinking I would that we'd ever transplant it, and not knowing what I was doing, the tree grew into the point where it actually outgrew the pot. Wouldn't you know? And so, when we went to we tore down, we took out that ugly tree that was over here, and it's gone now. This thing was just right for this, so we said, why not? I told Jim, let's just put this in there. And so we did. But there's a problem with it. The side of the tree that was by the house was deformed. And it's my fault. I should have put it so it could have gotten full sun, huh? But not thinking, you can see why Christmas trees have a bad side. If this was, it's just past the Christmas tree height. You cut that off, this side would have been by the wall, you know, that kind of a tree that you get that has a big hole somewhere. So this thing is growing like an absolute weed. It loves the place it's at. You know, trees, of course, are unthinking things. This is how nature plants trees. But if it could speak to me, it might have said to me, why are you taking me out of the ground when I'm growing so well right here where the bird planted me? But it couldn't stay there. And then when I put it in a pot, you know, it had reached its limit of growth. And as a shepherd, if you will, or a gardener, not only was I thinking of the garden, but also if this tree mattered, it could not stay there. It simply had to move. And this happens to us in life. We've simply outgrown the pot. We have to move on. And so this is what, but the tree has kept this deformity. And it now it's bigger than the house. But that side of it has actually continued to grow bigger, that those missing branches never grew back. I thought it's kind of funny. You'd think they would, now that it's out in the sun, that it would fill in. It hasn't filled in. And I look at that, and I thought, you know, that tree, it's a Northwestern image, but it's a lot like this reading. These people have been through something. And what they went through for Christ or for another human being, many of you know what I mean. There's things that we have to go through with people that we love or friends or life. We have an illness or a trial of some kind, you name what it is. But they're holding these branches in their hands, which symbolizes I've been through something in life. And the Lord got me through this. You and I got through this together, Lord. And I'm holding this up. This was my life. And it wasn't just a pleasure cruise. Nobody's impressed by a pleasure cruise in heaven. It's what I've been through with somebody I love. That's the badge of honor. And the reason I know that's true is not only from this reading, but look at what Christ does. The minute everybody sees him, they see his wounds. You see, he's showing people, this is what I went through for you. This is how much I love you. And so, of course, we're going to have our own set of wounds, if you will. And these are the things that are our great, this is the great courage, why we have these readings give us so much courage, that the shepherd is not shepherding us badly because something backfired in our lives or things didn't go the way we expected them to, or I got sick when I prayed to be well, I prayed for a happy life and I've had this miserable thing, or God knows what it is. This is just, it's part of life. The Lord didn't promise us that we're going to be on this, that we're not going to have problems. And that as we're transplanted from one place to the other, our issues go with us. And some of them have to be dealt with, and some of them are going to be our greatest glory to God in heaven and ourselves as well. So we, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, we pray that we will be able to hear God's voice more clearly, because this world has so many competing voices. They all purport to know the truth, and many of them are leading people right over a cliff. So it's, Lord, if I can hear you in the church, in the scriptures, in my conscience, well-formed, and to be able to follow you even when it's not easy, because I know that you're the Good Shepherd. You've got us in the palm of your hand. Nobody can take it out of your hand unless we ourselves walk away from you. And even then you chase after us. So we just pray that we'll always listen to your voice. If we get lost, we know that you'll find us. And be the shepherd and carry us forever. We just ask God to guide us and to give us courage through the readings that we heard today.